Welcome to the Short Term Show, the show about short-term rentals and long-term wealth, with real property owners hosting real properties who are crushing it in the vacation and short-term rental space. And here's your host, Avery Carl.
Hey y'all, welcome back to the Short Term Show. Today, I'm super excited to have on a good friend of ours being mine and Luke's, Mr. Patrick Andrus. He is a very successful short-term rental. They live in Alabama, and just really excited to interview him today. I already know his story, but excited to share it with all of y'all. So how's it going, Patrick?
It's going great today. How about you, Avery?
Doing pretty good. Can't complain. So do you want to just start off by just introducing yourself to our audience, telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got into investing in real estate?
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Patrick Andrus. I'm an attorney and engineer in Alabama. I've got a bachelor's and master's in civil engineering from the University of Alabama and a law degree. So way too much education. And me and my wife, we got married in 2018. She was in Birmingham. I was in Tuscaloosa at the time. We moved to Montgomery and we're on vacation. And she says, "Hey, what do you think about real estate?" And in the middle of vacation, I'm like, all right, well, let's get into it. We started reading books. This was about a year after we got married, and we started reading books. And that was in March of 2019. And by April of 2019, we have bought our first property after analyzing hundreds of deals. But when we first got started, we were like, well, where do we want to invest? That was the first thing that we kind of figured out. And we looked at beach properties. I was like, it'd be cool to have a beach property. We can go down and use it. And we started running the numbers. And I'm like, they're charging this much money for property management. We can't make this work. So we ended up saying, well, let's just do the long terms. We'll get a property manager. And Montgomery wasn't a favorite market of ours because it's not got good appreciation. The population is fine. And so we said, well, let's just go back up to Birmingham. We could buy there. And we ended up moving back to Birmingham during COVID. But so we started buying properties up in Birmingham. We bought like 7 our first year in Birmingham, got some good numbers going. And COVID hit and we were going to make our first big deal. And that was a absolute triple net industrial. So we ended up buying that, getting that under contract March of 2020, closing May of 2020, the height of the COVID pandemic. And then I met Luke. I read your book and we figured out we could do short-term rentals. And so we ended up getting our first short-term rental under contract in Panama City Beach, Florida in October of 2021. And everything was just moving and it was crazy. The market was just nuts right then, but we ended up getting under contract. We got it for a pretty decent price, great interest rate, and been managing it. We're doing much better numbers than the property manager was doing on it. And it's just been a great investment. And we bought our next one. And this was another one in Panama City Beach. And it's done great. It needed a lot of work. It was a complete gut job. We took it from looking like your grandma's house. I mean, it had the curtains. It had the floral decor. It had painted tiles in there. It was awful. And now it's updated. It looks like a good beach property. And so we bought that one. And it's been doing great for us. And it's all about the location, the management, and it has made it where I'm not really practicing law that much anymore. I'm managing my real estate and taking care of it that way. And we hadn't been able to find much because, you know, the prices keep going up. But we did end up buying one down in Cape San Blas. And it's been doing really well this year for us. We've had it for 8 months and we're doing very well. The reviews have been great. So we're excited about that one, too. So.
This episode is brought to you by Short-Term Rental Listing Advice. Join this Facebook group and post your listing to get advice from other hosts, including myself, on how you can improve your listing. Or just post your property so you can show off. Join us at strlistingadvice.com. That's strlistingadvice.com.
All right. So, but your Panama City place, it is on the sand, right?
One of them is.
Okay.
So the second one we bought is beachfront. And my strategy during the COVID pandemic was everybody's going after these properties that have been, you know, on the market for one day. I was like, let's see if we can get properties that have been on the market for a little bit of a long time. And so like the beachfront one was on the market for 500 days because they wanted too much money. We put in a low ball offer and we got it for what the sand was worth, which the sand is very expensive down there for beachfront. But we knew we had a 4,000 square foot house with plenty of bathrooms, decent parking, which is a key down at the beach. You want bathrooms and you want parking and decent parking, good bathrooms. And we said, we can make this work. And so we did the renovation from afar, got it done, and it's done well. The other one was rent ready. It had just been completely redone, but it had been on the market 90 days. And so my strategy during the Airbnb thing, where it was just going balls to the wall, was to find properties that have been sitting on the market a little bit and then try to get them for the right price. Because I didn't want to deal with the competition because everybody was going after these shiny brand new properties. And these, you know, our Ocean Street property, which is in which is on the east side of Panama City Beach, it's 60 steps to the beach. There's no steps to the public access. You don't have to cross a busy road. You can park 8 cars. It's got 4 bathrooms, 6 bedrooms, sleeps 20, private pool. So that we can make this work.
And yeah, I guess you can.
Well, we added a heater to the pool, so that we offer free pool heating, and it has just been doing great. We didn't double how much money was coming in from the previous property manager, but we increased it about 40% just by managing it correctly. So it's been great, but everybody loves that house. It's because it's so close to the beach. They love the pool, and then for the surf house, they love it. And then we bought our most recent one in March of this year down at Cape Sandblast. And I'm just always looking for a good deal. Run the numbers, make sure you find the good deal, be conservative with your numbers. And then when they do a little bit better than expected, then you're doing well.
Yeah. So yeah.
There are properties out there. You just have to be looking, and then you need to know your market. So
yeah, I think that is the most important thing, is knowing your market. I've seen people, whether they're commenting on like our Instagram or in our Facebook groups, and they'll say, oh, I looked in X market, but the numbers didn't work. And to me, in any market in the country, I don't care what market it is, if it's a metro market, if it's a rural market, if it's a vacation market, there is not an entire market where the numbers don't work on every single property. There is a deal if you wait long enough and if you're persistent. So if you look one day and say, oh, I know for a fact there are 1,800 properties on the market in the Smokies right now. So you're telling me if all 1,800 of those that you looked at on one day didn't work, that's not enough days of looking. So it's impossible for the numbers to not work in an entire market. You can find a deal. It might need updating, like you did, like your property, you got it for the price of the sand. And you were able to update it to get it to a point of being a really nice place for people to stay that's being really successful for you. So I think the most important point I want people to hear out of your story that you just told is that there are deals everywhere. There are deals in every market. You just have to be patient and persistent to find them.
Yes. I call it driving the beach. I'll get on realtor.com and I'll go from Cape Sandblast on the map looking in the areas that I want to buy all the way to Pensacola. And I do it every day.
Every day.
Because and once you start doing it every day, you go, well, I've seen this one. This one doesn't work. And so you can just skip over. But for me, we've actually driven this too. And we're like, well, we want to be on no busy street to cross. It doesn't have to be beachfront, but no busy street to cross. If it's not beachfront, it needs to have a pool and it needs to have good parking. I personally don't like dealing with HOAs, so I skip the condos. I know there's some good deals out there on condos, but there's also the new Florida law coming through but that which probably have even better deals on condos. So I may start looking at them with the new Florida law that is going to hit people with assessments, but that may make it where the prices come down and the numbers get even better on condos. So I may start looking at those, but I have this criteria of what I'm looking for. I put my filters in on realtor.com and I just drive the beach every day and look at it. And then I, for my long terms, I'll go to my markets that I look for good school systems in my long terms. And I do it every day. And once you start doing it every day, it takes 20, 30 minutes because you see it every day. You just exclude the ones you've already seen.
Yeah.
Or it's been sitting on the market for 180 days. Well, maybe they're getting a little hungry to make a deal.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and this is something, you know, if people are like, oh, I don't have time, get up 30 minutes earlier. And that really all it is messing around on Zillow while you're drinking your coffee. It's not big, doesn't have to be this big task that you have to do. It's let's just look at some properties. I mean, I do it every day too. I'm like every day I pick a different market every day that I have no intention of buying in. Sometimes I always have a small intention of buying, but Luke sometimes squashes that intention of buying. But
my wife does the same.
Yeah. There's got to be one of those in every relationship.
Yes, definitely. But yeah, it's every day I get on there and I look because there's deals out there. You just have to have your finger on the pulse, as some of my friends like to say. Once you know what's out there, you know what works, you've been in the market, and you can underwrite the deals yourself. So just taking a look at it is very important, and just looking every day. And the more deals that you're running the numbers on, the easier it gets. It's gotten to the point where, you know, day one, when we first started this, I'm looking at all these long terms. I'm trying to do my little spreadsheet. Now I just look at it, I go, this works, this doesn't work. Because I've run it so many times, it's now working in my head for me.
Yeah, so, you eventually can just eyeball it.
Yes, exactly. And then if it looks like it works in my head, then I'll get to the spreadsheet now instead of just running every single one through the spreadsheet. And then the other thing I would tell people that are looking is drive the market you're interested in once you settle on a market. That way you know what you're looking for. Like in the Smokies, I've heard Luke talk about, you know, you want to be in Ware's Valley, you want to be within 30 minutes of Dollywood or whatever. So go drive it and take a look. At the beach, you want to be close to the beach.
Yeah, you know, right.
It sounds simple, but its location is what we're offering. A good location. If you're in the Smokies, you need a view. If you're at the beach, you need to be close to the beach so people can go to the beach.
Right. I agree. The location really is the most important thing. The things that can't be changed or updated about a property, like a view or the location, are the most important things. Anything else you can change and update. And speaking of that, I want to get back to your first, well, maybe all of them, but you mentioned this about your first Panama City one that you were able to really improve on the income from what the previous manager was doing. And I think this is a little bit of a double-edged sword for investors, I think, because some people will go, oh, well, I'm going to be able to do better than that manager, so I'm going to buy this. And they don't do anything to it. They don't change anything. They just slap it on Airbnb and expect to do better than the previous manager. And then they're disappointed. But then some people cling way too hard to the previous management numbers and think, well, this doesn't make sense because it's only done, you know, this beach property has only done $60,000 this year. And that doesn't work if I'm buying a $2 million beach property that's only done $60,000, when you can very clearly see that, okay, this manager's got a crappy website, they're not on Airbnb, all these things. So how do you kind of figure out, okay, is this something that I can improve upon? Or do I need to hang on really hard to the numbers that they're doing currently and analyze that way?
So down at the beach, first thing I look at is what is the furniture in there? Like in the first one we bought, they had some ugly table and some, like the TV, piece in the main room was huge. It was, looked like it was like with the big old square TVs back the way they used to be square instead of now. So we're like, we can change a couple pieces of furniture, and we bought them from Facebook Marketplace for almost nothing and took them down there ourselves and put them in. And they didn't have a pool heater. They had a spa and a pool, but no pool heater. I said, well, we can improve revenue here by adding a pool heater, because then we can increase occupancy in April, September, October. And so we've done that. And then the other thing is take a look at how many days they're renting for. He was renting by the week, which means he was getting less of a rate because he was not, because some people can't afford to come for the entire week, but they'll pay a little bit more to go for 4 days. So we do a 4 day minimum with a 3 day gap is what we
and
do.
A lot of it's really common down here, guys, on the Florida Emerald Coast or Forgotten Coast too, for the big property management companies to require a 7 day stay. So that's why that's significant that Patrick offers the 4 days for a little bit more, because it's hard to find.
And the other thing we do allow pets. So I think so many people want to bring their pet with them. I know that a lot of people don't want pets in their rentals, but that helps us stand out also. So we offer free pool heating at this place. We allow pets. And, you know, then we built the reviews up. And so that's the next thing is you have to build the reviews up.
And
once you get the reviews, you have to be, you know, you have to communicate very well with your guest, be super nice with them. Remember, you are offering a place to stay and you're hoping that they're going to be good guests, but you want to be a good host too. And to treat people the way they want to be treated. And I found that if you communicate with them, you talk with them, if there's an issue, like last night, the pool heater fan stopped working. So I'm on the phone with my pool guy and he's out there at 8 o'clock at night trying to help him get it working so that this guest at that property can have a good experience for the week he's there. And so, you know, just being very active. I make sure now I put my phone down from 5 to 7. I don't look at it. But after that, when I get the kids to bed, I start looking at it, see if there's any emergencies or whatnot, because the guests are always wanting to communicate with you from 7 to 10 is what I find. It's not during the day. It's from 7 to 10. During the day, they're at the beach.
Right.
So, but I get my wife to bed. I get the kids to bed because they're very young. And then
put Michelle to bed.
I put Michelle to bed. That's right. Because she works in the healthcare field. So she has to get up early to go do that. So, but I think the biggest thing was going from the 7 day to a 4 day to increase it and then add in the pool heater. So see if there's small little value adds that you can do at a property that's going to increase your ROI at the property is a big thing. So a pool heater, just free pool heating, done. Offer pets, done. Now, when they go through their filters, we're at the very top because we sleep with a lot of people. And then you also look at it, how many people are you sleeping? How many bedrooms? How many bathrooms? There's not very many properties. So we bought the first one we bought was a 6-bedroom, 4-bathroom, 2,700 square foot house, very close to the beach. So there's not very many properties that hit us there. There's a lot of 3 bedrooms and 2 bedrooms down in Panama City Beach, but there's not very many 4 and over. So that really helps our occupancy from March through October, but we're not getting anybody from November through February. So if you're worried about snowbirds, you know, you need to understand what a snowbird is looking for versus what a bunch of families are looking for too. So just think about the way people vacation.
This episode of The Short Term Show is brought to you by The Short Term Shop. If you're interested in buying a short-term rental in one of the top vacation markets in America, just go to theshorttermshop.com and click Get Connected with an Agent. If you purchase a home with the shop, you'll have access to all of our client-only benefits, such as training on how to manage your short-term rental. So we'll teach you everything you need to know, from how to set up your Airbnb and Vrbo listings, to how to use the property management software that you'll need to streamline your business, all the way down to helping you source your local boots on the ground, like cleaners, handy people, etc. We've taught thousands of people just like you how to buy and manage their vacation homes from anywhere in the world. So head on over to theshorttermshop.com and click Get Connected with an Agent to get started. I do have to mention that we're brokered by EXP or else I get in trouble. We'll see you guys over there.
If you like what you're hearing, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, you can join me on a live weekly call to talk about your next short-term rental or ask questions about the one you already have. I am live once per week on Zoom. I would love to have you come and say hello. It's strquestions.com. That's strquestions.com. Come and join us.
That's super important. I see people a lot asking, oh, it's November, or when they're going to buy in a beach market or any seasonal market, how can I improve my bookings in the off season? Well, a lot of times you can't. And you just have to be okay with that and know that you are going to make all of your money in the high season and run your numbers knowing that you're going to make all your money between March and the beginning of October. And does that make sense to invest in? If so, then move ahead. But if not, or if that's something that you just can't get past, which is okay. You know, some people can't get past not having bookings in the off season because it just gives them anxiety, and that's fine. You know, there's other markets to invest in if that's something that's going to keep you up at night. The point is not to keep you up at night. The point is to help you sleep better at night because you have extra income. So,
and the thing I love about not having bookings in the off season from November to February is it gives me time to get little small things done at the property and not worry about stuff like, you know, last year we renovated some bathrooms during the off season. Perfect. Mm. Didn't have to worry about it.
And cut into your income.
Exactly. But like the Ocean Street property that we have, the guy who owned it was the property manager. He has several, he has 40 of them down there. He's actually our neighbor down there too. He's a super nice guy, been a wealth of knowledge for getting contractors and stuff. So always be friendly too.
Yes.
Like Michelle calls it my hee-hawing is what she calls it.
I've heard her say that before.
I will go talk to somebody and just get information. And she goes, how do you do that? I said, just talk to people. They're going to be friendly with you and they're going to want to help you. So he's given me contractors down there that can come in, maintenance people that can come in. And it's really helped a lot to have that person. I can call him. We send him a Christmas card every year. but he was doing like 110 at Ocean Street a year for that property. And he had it sleeping 24 people. We got rid of a couple beds, have it sleep 20, because I don't think families want to get too crowded in a place. And then we did 185 last year.
Oh, wow. So, and did you do any significant renovations to get to that point? Or was this all kind of the smaller, you know, the pool heater, the changing of the minimum night stay, all that?
It was just that. He had just renovated the place when he sold it.
Okay.
So he had put in new LVP in, he put in granite countertops. He had some older furniture in there, and we got rid of two pieces of furniture and we got rid of one sleeper sofa. And now it sleeps 20, and we kept everything else and we added the pool heater and people love it. So,
wow. So, man, and you bought that at the height of everything when, you know, there's a lot of people who bought stuff in 2021 that are selling right now and claiming, oh, it was saturated. And what's been your experience with that?
We are solidly booked from March through October every year. This year we're going to do probably, it looks like we are on par to do exactly the same as 2023. So I haven't seen anything. I think it's communicating with guests. I think it's, and we're only on Airbnb and VRBO. We're not trying to do the off market stuff yet. Yep. We're just going to try Google Vacation Rentals now, but people are booking and they're looking for good properties that are close to the beach. I think it just comes down to location and how you treat people. And if you communicate real quickly with people. So, you know, if there's an issue, we try to get on it immediately. And I will have our pool person get out there and our handyman get out there if there's an issue. And we try to take care of our guests that way. I haven't had any issues with that. It's the same at the Surfside Retreat property we have. We are fully booked from March through the end of October. And that one is, I can't believe it. It even booked for New Year's this year. It booked for Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Wow. How big is that one?
It's a 5-bedroom, 5 ensuite bathrooms, 2 half baths.
Is that one in Panama City or is that the Cape San Blas one?
It is 5 blocks away from Ocean Street property.
Okay. Wow.
It's technically an unincorporated Bay County. Mm-hmm. And there's no HOAs, nothing in the little area. And it's just a very quiet area. In fact, I bet you and Luke know where that area is. It's got a little bar place nearby that's a motorcycle club called the Alibi.
Oh, I don't know that one.
And during the bike week, they have all the bikers go right there.
I've never done. We did Thunder Beach 2 years ago. it was on my birthday. Pantera was playing, or the current iteration of Pantera. So we went down there and saw Pantera and Rob Zombie.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. I think my motorcycle rallying days are over.
So, yeah, it was an interesting, I probably won't go back during bike week because it was very loud, but, it was an interesting experience. I'm glad I did get to experience it. I just know that if I get on a bike, I will kill myself because I'm very clumsy.
Well, you can get on the back of Luke's. We'll ride you around.
Our Cape Sandblast property we bought in March of this year. It's done very well. We are booked for Thanksgiving for that one. I can't believe it.
Oh, wow.
But it's a 5-bedroom, 4, technically a 6-bedroom, but we use one of them as a game room.
Okay.
And a 4.5 bath. Didn't have any damage, thank the Lord, from the hurricanes at all. And it's been going very, very well.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that hurricane thing. First, I want to know how much did your Cape Sand, I know you haven't had a full year yet, but how much did your Cape Sandblast place do this year so far?
So we went on the market in May. We are about 130 right now.
Okay, so you did 130, but you missed the entire spring break, and you probably missed a lot of good summer bookings because you weren't online in time.
And you have to build up your reviews first. So right. People always look for good reviews first. And so we're all 5 stars down there, and it's the reviews are coming in great. Everybody loves the property. We're right near the stump hole, and everybody loves going down to the stump hole and seeing all the eagles. The eagles actually will buzz the house there too. So. Oh.
Awesome. I love that.
Yeah. We have a seawall there. And so we built up the reviews. I'm expecting the numbers to be even better next year. But the first year, right now you're like, well, we're competing with all these other properties that have 5-star reviews. We got to get our reviews up next. And we missed, like you said, people start booking on Vrbo about right now. They're beginning to start looking right now through January. So we missed that entire period of booking. But we got a beachfront property for a good price. And just cause we were staying on the market. I was driving the beach, as my wife calls it. And, I texted January, who's with the short-term shop. And, I said, January, is this a real listing? It was a beachfront listing. I said, is this real? Cause I thought it was a fake listing for the price they're asking for this big, beautiful house. And it was real. And we got it. And because we got under contract January, closed in March. We repainted the house on the inside because it was all white, which I don't like white in a short-term rental because it gets dirty too quick. And then we replaced all the furniture to get rid of grandma furniture and got it on the market and started taking bookings at the end of May. So,
all right. I mean, yeah, you're crushing it. You're absolutely crushing it.
It's just being active and staying up with the properties. The other thing that we really, really like to do, so we keep giving guests a good experience, is we will go stay in each of our properties at least a week.
Gotta do it.
Just to make sure there's no deferred maintenance. We'll go down in February, replace beach chairs. We replace the grills every year because we just can't keep them. The salt air kills them.
Right. Yeah.
And just see what needs to happen and then get people out there to get stuff fixed.
So let's talk about hurricanes. So you, like me, have properties kind of all along the Florida coast. And a lot of people are like, oh man, I don't want to invest in Florida because of hurricanes, which is a completely valid reason to not want to invest in Florida. But how do you deal with that? How do you prepare for that?
I have my handyman come and put the outdoor furniture inside to get the grills away. If we know a hurricane's coming, they'll put stuff up. And then I have insurance, and that's what insurance is for. I'm not as worried in Panama City Beach about the flooding, like the storm surge, because we're a little bit higher up. So I have just the $500,000 replacement cost flood insurance there. At the Cape, it's in an interesting zone. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's called a COBRA zone, a Coastal mm-hmm. Barrier Resources Act zone.
Yes, which means explain to our listeners what that is.
Yeah, of course. So it's the government does not allow you. Normally, when you buy flood insurance, it's a government-sponsored plan. It's a FEMA plan, okay? If you're in a COBRA zone, which is a Coastal Barrier Resources Act zone, you cannot buy government insurance for flood insurance. So you have to go to the private market. And so we went to the private market, and you know, we have to have, because we're in zone AE, we have to have the government level of it. So that's 250. So you buy your 250 at that level. And then they said, well, we can offer you full replacement cost for your property for double the price. And the price wasn't that bad. I was like, okay, we're right next to the ocean and we're in a flood zone. That makes sense. So we went ahead and had full replacement cost insurance. Kind of the opposite of what Luke and y'all did at y'all's property in Cape San Blast. Y'all got it out of the flood zone.
Yeah.
So when Helene was coming through, Luke's texting me and I'm like, yeah, I'm not that worried. He's like, why are you not worried? I was like, I've got full replacement cost flood insurance. If something happens, I'm covered. So it kind of takes away the worry about it. And when I ran the numbers for the property, we're good with paying for full replacement cost flood insurance every year with the numbers we're getting.
Yeah. That's kind of my answer too, is like insurance and prayer. You know, it's, you're either comfortable with it or you're not, and that's okay. You know, there's other markets to invest in, but the thing about Florida, especially this part of Florida, is the water is so beautiful here that the amount of tourism and the security that I have in the fact that people will never stop coming here. Lots and lots of people will never stop coming here because of that water. Exactly. That, you know, we can deal with a hurricane here or there, knock on wood. Well,
there's always something in whatever market you're going to be in. For my long-term rentals up here in Birmingham, we're worried about tornadoes because we're in Tornado Alley here in Alabama. If you're out in California, it's wildfires and mudslides, earthquakes. I mean, every market's going to have something different that is a big worry in that market. So that's what insurance is for. And we just, you know, every market's different, but everyone's going to have some sort of dangerous thing happening in that market. So that's why you get insurance. It's to protect against those kind of items. And so don't be afraid to use insurance, because that's what it's for.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, Patrick, before we move on to the last three questions of the show, is there anything about your story that you feel like the listeners would benefit from hearing that we haven't covered yet?
The thing that whether you're getting into long-term, short-term, commercial, whatever, it's building a team. So one of the first things that we did is when we were beginning to invest, was we built a team. Go ahead and start talking to a CPA. You need a good CPA. You need to have an attorney friend that you can run stuff off of, protect yourself. Luckily I had that covered. You're going to need to find good contractors. Once you get out there, vet your property managers. If you're doing long terms, or if you're doing short terms and don't want to deal with the hassles, I couldn't figure out a way to make the numbers work, but do that. And then talk to bankers. They will tell you how the finance system works, because it will make you pull your hair out, obviously, if you have to deal with it. And then if you're in Florida or if you're in some of these other places, insurance, you've got to have good insurance contacts, because it's getting harder and harder to get insurance in every market, not just the Florida market, but every market. I mean, I have issues for a couple properties I've got in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, that you wouldn't think you would have a problem getting insurance, but it's becoming a pain everywhere. So build a team up that you can run ideas off of, trying to find solutions. And that's very important. And a good real estate agent in your market that has their finger on the pulse can talk to people for you.
All great advice. So, all right, here we go. Last three questions of the show where you get to give people more advice. So first question, what advice would you give 20-year-old Patrick?
Get started sooner. I really wish I had started investing in real estate when I was 20. I look back at the prices back then versus what they are now. Real estate is a long-term game, as we all know. So the prices 20 years ago were less than half of what they are currently. If you look at what a property sold for in 2005 at the beach, that was just a normal beach house, you're talking a $300,000 purchase versus now it's over $1 million. So just get started. Don't wait. Don't be afraid. Go ahead and just get started.
Good advice. And next question, what advice do you have for a new investor who's looking to get started today?
Educate yourself. It's so important. You need to educate yourself about finance. You need to educate yourself about the location and the markets you want to be in and what type of investments you want to be in. And then understand what you're looking for and narrow it down to specifics, because you can't just invest in everything. You need to pick something or a couple of things and go with that and learn it, because that's how you become good at it, is the more you do it, the better you will become.
Also great advice. And last question, what's your favorite book that's impacted your mindset?
Well, the one I use the most is probably Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's just really good advice about real estate and also how to order your life so that you are maximizing your income, and how to think about what is an asset and what is not an asset. So I really enjoyed reading that one. I actually read it on a plane out to Hawaii. So
yeah, that's always, I mean, the good old staple. All of his books are good. He's kind of, I feel like this is really disrespectful to say, and I acknowledge that this is disrespectful to say about Robert Kiyosaki. He's kind of like lost it a little bit. He's kind of losing his mind a little.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you there, but we all seem to do that as we get older.
So. Don't we? Yes, we do. Some of us sooner than others.
Yes. And then, it's just been great. And then, you know, you get to meet new people. Like when I met Luke, a great friendship formed and we have become really good friends. We talked for 45 minutes yesterday.
He'll do that. If he likes you, you're going to hear from him.
Yes. Well, I was sitting there thinking, I hadn't talked to Luke in about 3 weeks or something like that. I need to call him. And so I called him. He was busy and he called me back. We talked 45 minutes yesterday, just about life. And, you know, you need to have people you can run stuff off of. Even if you don't live next to them, doesn't matter. Just talk to people. So I really enjoy that, because I work from home now because I'm all in real estate, and I talk to my friends, and I've got a few very close friends, Luke being one of them. And every time we go down the beach, we try to have dinner with y'all just because we enjoy seeing y'all. So it's just been good to meet like-minded people that are interested in growing a portfolio and then building it for your kids' success too later down the road. We're looking forward to being able to hand this off to the kids and where they don't have to struggle or think about stuff. And I know y'all are doing the same.
Doing our best. And we love you guys and we appreciate y'all's friendship too. And thank you so much for coming on. I can't believe I haven't had you on sooner. You've been on Luke's though, haven't you?
I've been on yours too, when we talked about the about Panama City Beach.
Oh, but that was with a panel of people.
It was with a panel, yeah. Yeah. I'm a very quiet guy when it comes to our investments, and we don't talk about it that much. We're not on the social media too much, hyping it, just kind of focused on trying to find new ones, always looking, I'm trying to 1031 our Cape Sandblast house now to get because we've identified a bigger property that we'd love to have in Panama City Beach, but at the worst case scenario, we're going to keep it and it's going to be great. And it's doing well for us. It's just, we're like, we can get a bigger property and use it because we bought it well. So it's just, but your listeners need to pick a market, stay in the market, look at the market every day, 20 yes. minutes, take 20 minutes. So
good advice. Yeah. The 20 minute rule, Patrick Andrus, start hashtagging that on all the social media. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Patrick, and hopefully we'll have you on again soon. And thanks so much.
Can't wait. Thank you, Avery.